Pan India Gambia program is a program where we are giving an opportunity to the youngsters where they can come out of their mainstream education system, explore what they're passionate about. What is it that makes them happy? And we take them on an experiential learning journey where they source their inner wisdom, and the age group which we invite is 16 to 25, where they are actually trying to decide what they want to do in their life.
I feel that our program offers young people an opportunity to get off the beaten track and discover their own dreams, their own passion, their own purpose for themselves. And I think our program is quite well designed for this. So I'm quite happy with what we have to offer. Personally, I find what I find enriching is the opportunity to interact with young people. There's a simple sincerity and innocence to them, which as we grow older, we tend to lose. And engaging with them and interacting with them has helped me reclaim some of this to myself. And I'm quite grateful and personally enriched by this opportunity to work with young people.
I completed my first 2 months of my gap year. I worked as a facilitator and a course designer in Mango Education, that is located in Coimbatore. As a course designer, I first started teaching kids science through baking and how to design a product, because I was working as a mechanical designer before, and I came across several networks like Zureach and Arnold Academy. Zureach was preserving animals, bad preserving animals, and Arnold Academy is into a spiritual life, and I came across these networks because I have chosen the gap year, and I am very much happy that I have chosen it.
Yes, this gap year, what a great program. When I looked at it, I said, I would sure like to do whatever I could to make it work for others. And I think it's good for anybody to do. It's so important to step back, take a look at your life from other perspectives and in other situations that you're normally not so distracted by. Whatever your work or your school that you're doing, it's somewhat of a comfort zone, and you want to feel a way to get that into a perspective that includes the world and includes more people. And when you face challenges, I mean, it's not so much what you're going to do in the program or where you're going to go, but you're going to confront yourself, which is a very wonderful experience. And in doing that, you find out what you need to do beyond what you're conditioned to do. That's the important thing. And of course, when you come to the end of your life, you want to be able to say, wow, I had a great life, and thank God I did that gap program.
We invite you all to this incredible journey to experience your own self.
I saw the wooden idols and all the beautiful paintings that were made on the walls. And all of these paintings were made of vegetable dye, which kind of surprised me. Then later we went on to the Triveni Sangam. Like, as the name suggests, it's a place where the three rivers, Kaveri, Kanika, and Sujyoti meet. And as the day kept going, like, you always learn something new after, like, every single event that was taking place. Like, to finish off that day, like, we went to Tala Kaveri to see where Kaveri, like, actually started its journey, where Kaveri started its own journey, where it originated. Like, most of them consider Kaveri a goddess. So the next day we went to an agricultural college where I got to learn so much more. I took this computer science group, so I really have no idea about plants or crops. But then going through this journey, I also learned a lot about plants and plantations and agriculture. The next day we visited the forestry college, which is kind of similar. They told us about their specific and special GI crops. This GI stands for geographical indication. And this is like a tag which is present on specific products. which correspond to specific geographical locations, which means they can be grown only in certain places. Being there, they also serve their special Coor coffee, which rejuvenated my taste buds. So we also, like, in the same forest, they also have this poly house where they grew, like, different beautiful kinds of orchids. Like, I, not knowing so much about plants and flowers, I was, like, really happy to know more about them and learn more about them. We also went to this we went through a small journey where we visited like 5 different temples in Talakada. The temple itself was a mystery of nature as it was completely buried under the sand. And then we visited like an electrical energy house in Sivasamudra. They used 3 different forms, natural forms, to generate electricity. Like, it's so hard in urban areas to use the natural forms of electricity. We always use like fossil fuels and exhaust them to get electricity. But like in a place like Sivasamudra, which is not very urban, like I was so awestruck to see all the 3 natural forms use just generate electricity. 3 forms of solar energy, which they use solar cells to trap the heat of the sun, use hydroelectricity and wind energy. And finally, the last day. So to finally end it in a perfect way, we visited River Kaveri in a place called Sri Rangam, and it took its true form. You see the power and majestic features of Kaveri, the power through which he flows. So that's basically what I wanted to say. This experience has been like so great to me. It's been such an advantageous thing. I've learned so much more than I should have learned, and I've like. Yeah, so it's been really good, and I thank Anita ma'am for like giving, like for choosing our school and giving us this like wonderful opportunity. And like I request Anita ma'am like never to stop doing anything like this, because it's such a good cause and such a brilliant idea to rediscover yourself. Thank you.
That was quite descriptive. Thank you so much, Saras. So we have Janaya with us, who will share her perspective. What has been this journey for her? Yes.
Hello, I'm Janaya. So, as he explained the very descriptive part of the journey about actually what happened on the journey, the day 1, day 2, day 3, till day 5. Actually, it was supposed to be day 10, but thank you, Cyrus. So this is the journey within myself, because I'm a person who, like, when I heard that this journey was going to be 5 days, and they specifically mentioned without your gadgets, I mean, I had to convince my parents not to send me on this trip, because how could I stay without Instagram for 5 days? That is just not possible. But I think that's when it actually hit me, was that I didn't know who exactly I was, because when they said without your gadget you have to be there for 5 days, try to socialize with people, I never knew exactly who I was, because I always thought I could stay without my gadget. But that's when I actually knew that it was not possible, and I had to adapt myself to it. So I guess this was where my first change was. I looked inside and I couldn't believe how all the other schools and you know, all these tuitions where they tell you how to understand other people, how to look into their perspective. And that's when I learned that all these days, nobody has ever asked me to look inside myself to try to understand myself. And I think this 5 days have been an amazing thing for me, because now I know, like, I had to look into myself. And after that, I knew which one to prioritize first, because now I put myself up there. I know who I am, I know what I stand for, I know what fears I behave, and I know everything about myself almost. So I'm really thankful, Anita, for having these amazing closing circles that happen every day after the journey. You kind of tell how you experienced everything, and then she made us do this two fear thing where you write down your fears, you write down what you stand for. I think those brainstorming sessions were really helpful. And it was amazing that my fear was kind of weird, because I was very, very afraid to find out the truth about anything. I was this person who didn't want to know the truth. I always wanted to live in this dream fairyland of mine where I created everything, and I didn't want to step foot outside of it. But I think now I know that it's nice living in the real world as well. The dream world is not just pretty, the nice world is also very pretty, but it depends upon how you look at it. So, as I've said, you should never stop doing this. I'm sure you won't, because you love doing what you're doing. And I think if you all have like any opportunity, you should probably like stick with her and go on these journeys. These are totally amazing journeys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. Without Gadget, we really had, because when we had the orientation with the parents before going for the river journey, even parents were, you know, very anxious that how could we send our kids without a phone or without tab or without anything.
My dad was first like, oh, without Gadget, please go on the trip.
Some of the parents, I guess. So yeah, in the river journeys, we recommend, we kind of make mandatory no phones and no gadgets. Only during the time of the travel, while you reach to the destination, they're allowed to have that. Now we have Dania with us, another student who also went along with us on the Kaveri River trip. Please, Dania.
Good evening. Okay, I'm kind of nervous. So first, the trip, as told before, lasted for 5 days. When the first said 10 days, I was like, sure, no, I'm not going. And for 5 days, I was like, maybe I'll think. Because I joined the school in 11, so it was a new school, everyone was new. I had like two of my old friends. So first, I was kind of not willing to go. But then my parents convinced me to go because they wanted me to socialize. I'm not the kind of person who... Maybe, like, yeah, I do go and talk to people, but then I don't make friends really easily. Once I start talking to people, I create this, my own frame in my mind, that a person who I talk to is like this. And this trip has helped me, like, break out that thought, which is great, I guess. The first thing I learned in this trip was moving with people, how to handle opinions. Because my mom tells me that I'm, like, very strong-headed. I don't change my opinions for anything. But when I went on this trip, I was able to understand that even when people say something that is kind of opposing my thoughts, it actually can make a good point. It can make a good point and has enough information to make me think more, to give me much more information. And the next thing is accepting what I got. I'm a very choosy person. I want what I want. I cannot compromise. But this trip actually, it was very different. Most things that I wanted wasn't there. Like, I'm not a person who travels with a huge group of people. I've never been in like buses in India, but then we had to travel 5 days in buses. I was shocked. But then it was actually a very good experience traveling with friends, playing. We played cards a lot. And singing, oh my god, I was tired of hearing my friends sing. And learnings, of course. I learned a lot of things about agriculture. Yeah, well, all the teachers, like whether they take biology or computer science or maths, the first thing they say is agriculture is the backbone of India. And it's almost like registered in my mind by now. But when I went to the Agri College and the Forestry College, they actually like taught us and spoke to us and gave us a very clear picture on how plants are being grown and developed in such a way so that it actually benefits the people, and also it's exported. And I also learned that much of the crops that are cultivated in India are mostly exported, like the high grade crops. And it kind of was sad when I learned about that. And of course, like, coffee is my favorite thing. So drinking coffee in cold was best. Next one was social mapping. Okay, I didn't actually do this, but my friends did. So social mapping is basically going to a location and finding out what is the culture of the people over there, how they live and everything about that. And it's a very good experience according to what they said. So talking about Kaveri. So the last day, that's the day 5 before we went to the train to get back to Chennai, we visited Srirangam, the river. Basically, over there, I actually had a fight with my friends. I was very silent. But looking at the river made me feel very better because it was going with a huge uproar. It was literally foaming. It pushed everything in its way. Like, there were no obstacles, rocks, everything were moving along with the river. And I learned one main thing that day is that no matter what happens, I have to push forward. I shouldn't stop doing what I do, even if I don't get the support I want to. So I would like to thank the Anvesan team, like every person who was there, my teachers, my principal, my friends especially, for being there on that day to help me with all the emotional things I've been going through. And also, like after this trip, I almost met everyone in the school, so that was a great thing. I think all of you must go on trips like this because not only they introduce you to a lot of people, but also you rediscover yourself. Like, I never knew I could speak like this. So I didn't prepare, so that's one thing. Okay, so I never knew I could speak like this, and yeah, it was a great experience. I think all of you should go for it. It's a strong suggestion, so please go for it. And thank you.
Collaborating with different agencies around to have a mixed group. The idea of these river journeys is that we just don't focus on rural youth or just separately do it for the bioregion or separately do it for, this was an exception we did, but we mix groups because as diverse a group, we believe that the learnings are much more enriching when the groups are mixed. So I would like to invite Bridget, who has been supporting us on this venture with the bioregion. She runs an after school called Tamarai. And whenever I design a journey, I always reach out to her. I said, Bridget, we're going next. Please suggest somebody who would enrich from this journey and would be a great experience. So I would like her to share because some of the participants from the bioregion unfortunately could not come here for sharing today because of specific reasons. So your perspective on these journeys.
And I'm here also with Mitali and Chloe. We have quite a big team. So hello everybody. I think actually just watching you speak, the program speaks for itself because what I see in youth, we've had three youth that have been fully sponsored through the programs from Eddie and Shavadi and from Anandagar village. And I think what I see when they come back, they're taller, they're more confident and they're radiant. And they've had an experience that really touched them. And in all of their cases, they hadn't traveled outside Tamil Nadu before. So it was, I think it really begins to just give a more global mindset and also a sense of, they come back with a much deeper understanding of ecology and the interdependence of everything. And I remember Prakash coming back and he was so inspired by people along the river system, the indigenous people, and how they were actually, you know, they were fighting against the elements. They were reforesting, they were working to with the dams, you know, to try and put activism campaigns together. And they really, he saw agents of change out there, you know, trying to make their environment as much full potential as possible. And he came back and the others came back actually thinking about their own communities as well and what they could do. And and some of you talked about your inner journey as well. And this was huge, I could see with the volunteers. Jagadeshwari, for example, she was the first one who came on the film. Then she said in the film, I discovered who I was, which I think one of you said as well, which was so beautiful. And she went through quite a lot of personal experiences. She's from a very marginalized community. And I really think the program cuts through class barriers, caste barriers. Everybody is the same. And I think this is hugely important. And Yeah, and I could just see that she came back much more confident, and she leads a lot of the work in Tamarai now. She's actually on a Vipassana meditation course as we speak. That's why she wasn't able to come. And I think actually the program actually gave her the confidence to go out again and to do something as challenging as Vipassana. So then Prabha has got an opportunity. He went on one of the river experiences. He now has an opportunity for a one-year gap program. And he's somebody who has left college as an engineer, like many people in India do, and find that there's not so many job opportunities. So the gap year program he has designed himself with some other participants, and he's got the opportunity to go and work with three different organizations over a year in India. You're probably going to talk about that later. But for him, it's going to give him experience in different parts of India, including one of the opportunities in Delhi. But also it's going to give him something really concrete on his CV, that when he goes for a job, it's going to give him real opportunities. So our project name is Tamarai, which is the word for lotus flower. And we feel that everybody has greatness inside once opportunities and resources are put in front of them. And I think one of the magic of Tamara, our Auroville, is that so much comes through. And there's so many amazing projects. And when we begin to work together, you know, it can really affect people's lives. So I'm hoping that we'll be continuing next year and the year after as well. The other thing that happens, actually, when the youth come back into the project, because they're youth facilitators, and we have an after-school facility, so they teach the next generation of children. But they make a presentation on where they've been, what they've done. And all of a sudden, for the children as well, they can dream beyond their village, beyond Chennai. You know, there's a big world out there. So, yeah, so thank you for all that's done for us and the bioregion as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Bridget. I would like to invite Sagarika now, who's been on the first and the second Ganga River. And after this, we would like to open the house for discussion if you have any questions, any feedback, anything, any comment, or you want to know more about the river journeys, you're most welcome to do that.
Hi, I'm Sagarika. And I've been to both of the Ganga Yatras, like Anita said. I was 14, 15 on the first one in 2016. And like she's mentioned, like the video said, we all had personal projects and almost barriers that we had to overcome. And for me, what the Ganga Yatra did the most was provide a safe space. And it was almost like an accelerated space because everyone was working on their own projects and everyone was dealing, like Aryaman said, with the group. And him coming from outside and us being Aurovillian, I didn't realize it was a thing because for me it was the same. I didn't know half of the people on the trip. And we were all working with that inside ourselves and around, trying to adapt. And while we were working outer, we also had to work inward with our own projects. So everyone was going on like a little spiral inside them, and there was all these, you know, motion going on, which is accelerated, I would say, because we were really focused. And so my project, well, I want to talk more about my projects because I want to show my inner workings in a very fast rate. So I want to spend more time with questions, so if you guys have any questions, please interrupt me and ask them. Mm-hmm. My project when I was 14 was to decide whether I wanted to go into a more conventional way of learning with examinations in future school or continue with my learning in last school where I didn't do my exams. And I chose last school after a lot of working out. My project was to take photos of paths, to understand paths, to decide what I wanted to do, what I wanted my path to look like. So yeah, free progress it is. And the second Ganga Yatra 2018 last year, my project was to be more aware. Because I realized I was skimming through a lot of stuff and I wasn't dipping deep. And so the gratitude practice, which you mentioned, really helped me. Because we would sit down and we would write 10 things we're grateful for, which is, I thought at the beginning, a bit unreal. Like, I can't find 10 things I'm grateful for. I don't want to be forced to do that. I want it to come from inside. But as I was doing that, I realized I would write rocks and light and all these things that were part of nature. And I realized, and I related to it, to my motivation and my inspiration. And how when I'm surrounded by these things, when I'm in the presence of these things, they just overtake everything. And you're just there. And that's when it made me feel more present, which was my project, to be more inside, more real, more alive, you know? So that somehow directly made a loop. And yeah, so that was it. Mm-hmm. Traveling and all had a toll on like your mental state, and because you're constantly traveling. Once we reached a hotel or something, I felt my body was still in a little tempo, you know? but yeah, you have to deal with the physical aspect, the mental aspect, everything with the group, while everyone was focusing on themselves and outside. It was very raw, I would say, and it taught me a lot of how to deal with myself, deal with other people, deal with food. You know, you have to make sure you're drinking enough water, etc. It definitely, I grew up there a lot in an accelerated environment. Do you guys have any questions? I'm expecting lots, by the way.
How long will you go on going on this journey?
As long as I'm here, I would try as much as I can, because, you know, there's not a point where you stop learning. And so you face these things, these trips, in such a different way each stage of your life, and it accelerates even more, you know? I don't know how to explain it, but I wouldn't stop.
Do you see a stage coming in a few years that you will be leading these yatras?
I don't see how I would be leading, but I would definitely love to help facilitate. Because Anita doesn't lead per se, she facilitates a lot. She lets you have your space, which is so important. And she provides a safe space. She's strong, so she makes sure everyone has their own strength and is in their element. So, but she's not mothering also. She lets you grow, you know, you pick up yourself and you walk on.
And one more question.
Yes.
Which rivers are you planning to do next?
So I
don't
know.
Or dreaming to do next?
Oh, I don't know. I've seen lots of photos by Rajiv about the Narmada Yatra, and that is definitely one I'm really excited about if it happens. But yeah. It just happened that I was present when both the Ganga Yatras were happening, so I went on that one.
I have a question.
So these questions can be for anyone who has spoken.
I'll let you focus them on me.
Will you focus on her first? Yeah. Then we take the others. Because I'm quite aware, and I've been hearing a lot from Aryaman. I'm one of his teachers. And he told me that how you cope for the first time if you have not coped the high altitude and the cold, if one of your participants are not equipped or having the warm clothes, and how do you adjust to it?
So,
you want to answer that?
Yeah, I think it's all in the head. I mean, I did have the equipment, I'm all okay. We all got gloves and stuff in the local market in Goa, but it's definitely all in the head, I would say. And yes, it's hard. And a lot of people have different reactions to it, but we don't drop there. We walk. And so while you're walking, while you're panting, you realize you're getting less air, less oxygen, and you're moving on, and you realize. Yeah.
Hope you...
Was that...
Yeah, we had, before undertaking any of these extreme journeys, especially the where you require to reach to a certain altitude, we do practice in before for the physical. Physically, we prepare ourselves to undertake these journeys, and there is a packing list given. But yes, it like Sagarika said, that each individual responds to these situations very differently, and medically we equip ourselves to deal with such situations. And Araman can tell you more about what he actually ventured into.
Dipped his head in cold water.
Ice cold water.
Not too smart. Would not recommend.
Yeah.
Anita, I have a question for you. Like, each journey which you take are in a group.
Are in a group.
And they are kind of structured by you, where you know where they are going to stay.
Yeah.
To make an arrangement for such a group, you need to plan. What what do you think if it is a, if you design some solo journeys where you give a start point and end point to the people and reach?
Yeah, why not?
You can do that. Less planning. And you know, more so, flow. It's like a free fall.
Yeah.
And a self-discovery. And no facilitation whatsoever.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea. The only thing what we did, what I do, what you say in the solo, I undertake all these journeys before actually proposing these journeys to the participants. So for me, these are solo journeys.
Exactly.
So, but for the group...
They will make their own pattern.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. You want to answer?
Yeah.
Well, sure. Go ahead.
Here. I think that's kind of missing the point. It's kind of a strong statement, but here we don't have to focus on what we're going to eat next, what bed we're going to lay in, you know, how long we can sleep. Here we can focus on ourselves and our surroundings. We're very much present. And for a while, we had an exercise. We had to travel from one spot to the other in the latest Ganga Yatra, which we did by ourselves. It was an exercise to see, even be aware of the financial aspect that goes into it, the time, you know. If you take a temple with a bunch of friends, it's going to cost you a lot, but you'll reach there. If you take like tuk-tuks from one place to the other, it's going to
be never ending,
you know. I mean, it depends. So we did do that, but as a short exercise, it does wake you up enough, I think, to add that aspect. We have lots of young people, lots of, I mean, I wouldn't, I want to worry about that. It would miss the point for me about the whole journey.
What was your favorite part of the whole journey?
My favorite part, the rafting, I'd say. It's because you're always driving next to the water. You're always trekking over the water. Once you're rafting, you're in the water. And there are all these rapids that you have to cross, and then you get to jump into the water with a rope, and it's exhilarating. It's amazing. It's just the best. It adds a whole different element.
Nancy?
When you felt challenged, either physically challenged or emotionally challenged or motivationally challenged, what did you tell yourself to put your next foot forward?
So I felt a great challenge during the last leg of the trek. It was towards a base camp, and I was done. I you know, before you would skip over the water and you would have all the energy, and at the end I was walking through everything. I was just wanting to get there. And this is not a generic answer because it's my personal thing, but I would look at all these stones and I would source energy from them. It's, I don't know, might seem unrealistic, but it really worked for me. And I really was able to take in, thank, move on, take in, thank, move on, you know? And that helped a lot. Yeah.
I have a question for the participants who are from Oroville.
Who aren't?
Yeah, who have not been brought up from Oroville. How do you think of Oroville now? And what sort of relationship would you like to have with this place in the future?
Yeah, sure.
When I first came to Oroville, it was not now, but long before. And I knew that when I grow up, after I finish what my parents want me to finish, I want to come here. And I'm not joking about it, but you will see me here if you're here. I promise you that, but for me, Oroville is just amazing. It's based on my principles that I've had from when I was a young child. For me, it's all about nature. It's not about the exams that I need to like focus on or anything of that. And I think now I have a reason to tell my parents why I want to come here. Because on the journey, I knew I was kind of framing. I think the journey helped me also like frame exactly how I can tell my parents that I want to be here when I want to be here.
Okay. Arvind, you want to speak about what is your perception about Oroville?
Well, being here from last like 4 years, studying in med school, so I'm like quite. Like every day visiting and going home, plus like it has been a good connection, you know, like you're emotionally, and then you know, like you get to meet new people. Like when you're Pondy, right, you have your family, friends, neighbor. But when you come here, right, you can explore and see many people over there. So you learn things, and I can say it is one of the best learning hub. You get to know a lot of things, like not only through the Indian education way, like overall, like sports, activity, drama, arts, whatever happens here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Would like to come over. Any more questions or anybody has any query?
You were mentioning about some photos in the park. I'd like to know about.
What? Sorry.
No, I just.
You explained something about
the park. So
okay.
I can elaborate on that. For me, I'm really into art. And my art helps me learn visually. I get to see the moment I am at and what I can do to improve. So to decide what path I would go on, whether conventional learning or free progress, I decided to take photos of paths to see what a path could have on it, whether it's a rocky path or, you know, a loose terrain or full of grass or with auto rickshaws or lines or anything, you know. Just the diversity of it for me to understand and cope and realize that even if I do choose conventional, even if I do choose free progress, there is no certainty. And just to adapt, the way I adapt on the trek, the way I chose to persevere on it, etc. I'll have to do that anywhere, with any path.
Anybody Thank you so much. We have Mona with us. Usually this is a space where we say we don't want to take adults along with us. But some adults do tag along with us.
Did they say at some point that there is no age limit?
So there is an age limit for this.
You have to have an interview with them. This one time she allows some
so there have been some of them have accompanied us on these journeys. And Mona has been there with us on the Narmada River journey. So
yeah,
let's hear what her experience with all of us has been.
So Papa and I were privileged to join the group. This last year, this time we were on the trip.
Yes.
And so it was from 31st December. So we spent our new year at Amarkantak. And
yes.
Then we came back on 14th. We were on Uttarayan. We were in Ahmedabad flying kites. So this, we did that whole trip from Amakanda. Yeah, it was just amazing because the moment I heard that she was doing this, and I always tell everybody, this is my story I made up, that Anita is doing this because she has a son who's 10 years old, and she told her son that before he's 17, he should see all the seven rivers of India. And then she started this program. That's what I thought. And then I said, I want to go on one of these. And Narmada was always something, Ganga, we heard, but Narmada was, you know, everybody knows about the Narmada Parikrama. And it was one of my wish to do that. And then when she proposed, I was one of the first, I said, if you allow, we'll come. And then, so it was amazing. Amarkantak was amazing because the Narmada comes out really in a trickle. It's not like Ganga. You know, there's no river. You almost can't find it. It's just like they put a basin there and they said that's the river. But actually it's a trickle, you know. And it was so beautiful to experience that trickle becoming all these different phases, you know. And kind of like Auroville, it's like little cells, you know, we are each contributing to making a larger whole. And it was very beautiful experience. There were many, many experiences because it was very nice. Anita had organized meeting all kinds of people, from activists, and we met the commissioner in Jabalpur. We met different for and against the Narmada Dam people. So, you know, we had people who were for dams and against. So it was a very educative kind of experience. But more than that, being born and brought up in Ahmedabad in a city, although we had the Sabarmati, the famous Sabarmati River, but you don't really realize what a river is to the people who live around the river and grow up and depend on that river. So that was an amazing, and she really, you understand that she's a goddess, you know, and why she's a goddess in India. So one morning in the bus,
at 5 a.m. we were traveling to Rajpipla to meet the first gay prince of India, which was quite an amazing experience.
The first in the world who announced himself.
Yeah, it was quite something. And we were going from Madhya Pradesh to Gujarat. And it was amazing. You could see, you know, we crossed in the night. And it was through the down jungles. And we heard all kinds of stories about and say, now you're yogis, you know, you have to live here. So Anita was really very scared with all these bunch of kids. But anyway, we managed, and then in the morning we were going towards Rajpipla. And it was beautiful, the sun was coming through the forest. The Dang is the bamboo forest. So this is a poem I wrote which I want to share with you. So Narmade, it is called. She is a mother, a life giver, a river, the embodiment of all that India stands for. Mythological, real, and yet difficult to decipher. From myriad forms, she speaks to us. Here she is a trickle, a roar, or serene glade. There a mother who lies with her underbelly revealed. Mute she meanders without a complaint, observing, facing, accepting what man wills. To understand, discover, revel in her, letting her govern your life's aspirations is not easy. But once surrendered, she protects, reveals, blesses. One sees the sacred mother who lives within and without. A life an epitome of culture and values of aeons, past, present, and future.
Thank you so much, Mona, for sharing your experience with us in a lovely poem. So when we were on Narmada, actually we went to Chandod, where actually Sri Aurobindo used to stay there, and we tried to figure out the space where he stays, and there actually he wrote a poem called The Stone Goddess, and we sat down at that place and we read that poem sitting at the banks of the Narmada. So it was very, very humbling and a very heart-touching experience for all of us. So
he had an experience there when he went inside the temple.
Yes.
He experienced the goddess.
Right. That's how poem is the stone goddess.
Yes, yes.
Right. So we went to that place where he had that experience. So we would like to move on with our evening, and there's a short video we have of the program which we have designed, which is again a traveling yet an experience program which is across India, and we've designed with 30 different partners. It's called Anubhav, a pan-India gap year program, and two of the partners, Gopal from Hyderabad Trails and Shilpika from Brahmaputra Cultural Foundation, is right now present with us, who are also joining on this venture. The whole idea of these programs is to give an opportunity to the youth to go out, to explore, to see what they really want to do in their life. Because here in Aurobindo we feel that we are in a very comfortable zone, and once they are actually thrown out of the comfort zone, you really figure out how to live by your own self and have these experiences. So Venkatesh will play the next video. So thank you so much for being with us and listening to us through going through all our experiences. We have put up an exhibition outside of some of our photographs from different river journeys we've had, and there is some tea and snacks back at the canteen, so we would like to take you on the next journey with us. Thank you so much.